Welcome to Pap Talk, a podcast from Contemporary OBGYN, where we deliver expert insight, commentary, and more on emerging topics and trends to doctors in women's health.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. So can you briefly explain what you presented on at AAGL's 50th Global Congress on MIGS held in Austin, Texas?
Yes, this year in Austin, Texas for AAGL was specifically geared to a lot of newer modalities that we see in surgery and minimally invasive gynecology. And one of those features was radio frequency energy. And we have really moved forward in the last, 3 to 5 years when we look at this technology. But radio frequency energy is a way of ablating or treating fibroids through various different modalities. And we were able to speak to those different modalities and also the safety of the technology and really just how accessible it is for GYNs to use for their patients.
Absolutely. And what are the benefits of using radio frequency ablation versus hysterectomy or myomectomy for treatment of uterine fibroids?
Now, this type of technology is newer for patients because it doesn't involve any large incisions. It is different to hysterectomies, say, because it is uterine sparing. And it's also different to myomectomies, because even though myomectomies are uterine sparing, there usually requires a longer recovery time, which may range anywhere from 2 weeks to maybe even 8 weeks, depending on the modality in which it's done. And blood loss. One of the things of minimally invasive surgery is to really feature how we're able to decrease the amount of blood loss for a procedure. So with this typical procedure, which can be done transcervical, which is done hysteroscopically without any incisions, or it can be done laparoscopically, which would have very few incisions, which again are small, the blood loss for this type of surgery is what you'll see is very substantial to the two previous modalities that you had mentioned with a myomectomy and or hysterectomy.
And when it comes to utilizing radio frequency ablation devices for removal of uterine fibroids, what device do you prefer and why?
Now, that's a good question. When you're looking at radio frequency, I tend not to, compare them. They are comparative in the sense that it's a healthy competition. One, there are different modalities. Two, there are certain features in which they can treat certain fibroids and then those that they cannot, depending on which one you use. For the transcervical, the further away that the fibroid is from the actual endometrial cavity makes it harder to reach and treat with the radio frequency energy. And vice versa, for the laparoscopic modality with Acessa, the closer you get, rather, to the endometrial cavity makes it harder to treat sometimes when you think of a laparoscopic approach. Now, what we were able to present is, because it is the same energy with radio frequency, you very well could use both of these modalities if you wanted to globally treat a uterus and get some of the fibroids through the transcervical route in addition to the laparoscopic route. The main difference that I would see right now is that when we look at coding, for example, when physicians need to code this type of procedure, the laparoscopic radio frequency ablation technique does actually have its own CPT1 code, where the hysteroscopic transcervical approach is still waiting for a CPT1 code, and therefore sometimes billing from a physician standpoint can propose some difficulties for that approach. So right now, those are kind of the differences when you look at the route of how the procedure is done. And then also for coding and billing from a physician standpoint, you'll see some differences there.
Okay, my next question. I know you spoke about disparities when it comes to surgical removal of uterine fibroids. Could you explain some of these disparities and the importance of providing surgical options outside of hysterectomy, especially for Black women?
Now, the feature that I, really spoke to specifically at this AAGL in Austin was when we think of healthcare disparities or racial inequities, when we look at surgery, when we look at maternal healthcare, if you wanted to bring it out to that scope, is that we do see a significant difference when we look at the amount of hysterectomies, blood loss, major procedures that are offered to women of color than those that aren't, specifically minimally invasive procedures. So, you know, challenging the participants this year at AGL to really focus on making sure that we are inclusive in the choices that we give to women of color, that we really look at the emotional aspect of how we speak to our patients in ensuring that they get the full amount of options that are offered to each and every patient. And then last but not least is to make sure that we are offering patients based on what they can do in their outside life, what they can do emotionally, socially, from a professional standpoint, that we're really bringing that into the picture when we offer options to patients so that they really can use all of that information to make the best choice for them, that they feel that they're being heard as a patient, and that we make sure also that we look at these disparities and really individually take that opportunity to look inwards and how we can decrease these disparities and find ways as a healthcare provider to be inclusive in our care.
Absolutely. And my last question I have for you is, do you have any best practices for when it comes to using radiofrequency ablation for uterine fibroids? You know, how about when it comes to counseling patients on this treatment option?
The ability that we have to have such innovation in our technology and GYN that we've seen, you know, over the last few years, this is one of the newer ones. I find that some of the counseling efforts from a GYN standpoint goes to allowing patients to truly understand what that technology allows, how it can benefit them, and making sure that all questions are answered. You know, we shared some of those pearls during our presentation at AGL, was to help patients understand fully what treatment of fibroids is versus removing fibroids, how the energy actually treats the fibroid, which might be a difference to what you would say is a uterine artery embolization, which is ischemic treatment of the fibroids, where this is coagulative treatment of the fibroids. So those are very much different. And then being able to offer patients a little bit more information on when we look at fertility, say, you know, this is not something that is FDA cleared, or the device rather, or the treatment is FDA cleared. But when we look at fertility, because we haven't necessarily published any data that shows how this impacts fertility, what we do know is that is very close to being published from both particular companies, Sonata and Acessa Health with the Hologic. Is that we have to make sure that if a patient does choose to get this procedure, which they very well can, it's very safe. If they do choose to get this procedure and they still are considering fertility in the future, is to make sure that they understand the difference between not being cleared or not having data, rather, that's geared towards what fertility outcomes are with this procedure. And also what we have seen from previous studies, from previous patients who did desire fertility and still were able to after getting this procedure, that we're able to help guide them through what that really means for them individually and helping them come to a very good consensus of what would be best for them between provider information and what they understand.
Thanks for listening to this episode of PAP Talk. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen.